Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
From the studios of New York Public Radio and live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. The London band called Public Service Broadcasting builds their songs out of documentary and archival sound. Their brilliant 2015 record called The Race for Space was built around voices and sounds of the Soviet and American race to put a man on the moon. But their new record, called Every Valley, takes a different tack. In fact, instead of looking to the stars, they've gone underground. It's an album about the mining communities of southern Wales. And they're here to perform some of those songs for us in the studio today, beginning with The Pit. Here is Public Service Broadcasting.
Every little boy's ambition in my valley was to become a miner. There was the arrogant strut of the lords of the coalface, wanting to stand on street corners and look at the posh people pass with hostile eyes, insulting with these cold looks because they were the kings of the underworld.
Cage dropped suddenly into darkness. The working morning had begun.
Step in and see how, for the last quarter of a century, your coal was won. And how it is still won, 24 hours round the clock.
Great stuff from Public Service Broadcasting, the London band, back here in our New York studio with a new album in tow called Every Valley. That piece is called The Pit. And once again, as always, Public Service Broadcasting built around the songs of J. Wilgoose Esquire, who plays the guitar and the keyboards and the computer, with his longtime partner in crime, Wrigglesworth, behind the drums, and the multi-instrumentalist JFA with one of everything over in the corner there, a guitar, a bass, a flugelhorn, percussion, keyboard. Jay, to you and the rest of the trio, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be back.
So you are more earthbound this time than on the last record, The Race for Space. Why go for mining as the theme of this record?
I guess the initial germ of the idea was the desire to do something a bit unpredictable, a bit of a left turn, just to kind of keep ahead of where people might think we would end up going.
So you didn't think Public Service Broadcasting was already a left turn? Building songs around archival, you know, without quote-unquote lead singers.
You've probably got a fair point there. When you're in the middle of it all, I guess maybe you lose a bit of perspective on that. This just isn't quite weird enough. We need to be a bit more niche here. You know, space is such an attractive subject and such an emotive subject that it would be, you know, quite easy to move on to similarly large and kind of epic and grand scale things and things that we've covered similar subjects to in the past. But I didn't feel that would be the best kind of use of this album, really, having got to the point where we've had a couple of albums and have earned a bit of a license to kind of express ourselves in other ways. And I started going through the British Film Institute archives again and just having a look at, you know, the kind of materials they had. And they have an awful lot of material from the National Coal Board film unit in the UK. And I guess that was the kind of the genus for the idea. And the more I researched it, the more I thought about it, the more I kind of thought perversely you could make it more universal by making it more focused.
Right.
And that's where the whole South Wales angle came in and what led to us going down that route.
Are you familiar with the contemporary silent film by the New York filmmaker Bill Morrison called The Miner's Hymns?
Yes, I am. The soundtrack is by Johan Johansson.
That's right.
Yes, who does the music for Dennis Villeneuve's films, doesn't he? Yes.
He's doing the new Blade Runner movie, yeah.
That is a tough one to follow up.
Yeah, it is.
Crikey. Brave man.
But that film really sort of brought to a lot of people's attention the fact that the mining community wasn't just about a job. It was a genuine community. There was a culture that had been built up around it that was about more than just taking black rocks out of the earth, and that this culture is now kind of disappearing. It's a kind of a way of life that's under threat. And that seems to be the bigger picture you're getting at here.
Yeah, I guess it's how Western civilizations in particular have dealt with the industrialization of these industries and how you deal with the communities who were so heavily reliant on one particular commodity to kind of, you know, in coal's case, literally kind of fuel the entire local economy, I guess. And where that takes you in terms of today's politics, I think it points in all kinds of different directions. I think what we're doing on the album is not kind of drawing those lines for people. I think we're just highlighting what happened there, when it happened, the rise and then the fall, and you could argue the kind of the betrayal of the people who'd worked this incredibly dangerous job for so long and then were sort of left on the scrap heap or on the slag heap, I suppose, more accurately.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what the album's about, but like I say, I think it points in all kinds of different directions that are very interesting to kind of think about.
Well, one of the new directions is that while you still allow the story to play out in archival footage and archival documentary sound, there are occasional actual singers.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's just part of, you know, keeping things fresh and keeping things different. And as the album kind of progresses, certainly into the second half, we get much closer to kind of present day stuff. And the archive, ironically, available to us for more contemporary events was just harder to find, and harder to find stuff that carried the same weight. So you start to look at other ways to kind of try and tell that story, and whether or not it's asking Tracy Ann Campbell to sing a kind of sung refrain that runs through a song, or you know, asking James Dean Bradfield from the Manic Street Preachers to kind of sing words from a poem from the 30s, but that words that are incredibly apt still today. It's all just kind of different ways of achieving the same kind of goal, I suppose, of using material from the past and trying to tell a story, but trying to find new ways to do that and not just become set in our ways.
Right. So Tracy Ann Campbell of the band Camera Obscura is on this next song that you're going to play for us called Progress. Do you find that people are looking at titles like, you know, Progress in the line, I Believe in Progress, or titles like The People Will Always Need Coal, and looking for layers of irony in that?
I hope so. I mean, irony doesn't always travel well, but I think a few people have maybe taken it as a kind of, you know, a cool a la a certain high-ranking Democratic official over here, that maybe coal mines have a future. And certainly that's not the case. I think the point of a song like People Always Need Coal is that was an advert in 1975 telling people that there were 400 years worth of coal in South Wales and it was a safe job and a secure job. Money, lots of money and security is the way the jingle goes. And to go from that to 10 years later, you know, people have been on strike for the best part of a year and are just being ground down by the state, really. That was the aim of it. But one of the things about putting music out there is that you don't have control over what people are going to think of it. And certain irony-free people might take a very different message from the record.
Yay, coal! Yay, yeah. Black lung disease!
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, if it was still going, I'd obviously be working down a pit, not doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tracy Ann Campbell isn't here, but she is virtually here, correct?
Yes, well, it's a song about progress and about automation in a way, and it's kind of about man and machines and the relationship between man and machines, and it seems particularly apt at the moment. There's all kinds of developments in automation, and I think it's a double-edged sword, really, because, you know, you could take it as a very superficial pop song and I mm-hmm. Believe in Progress, or you could take it in the context of the album where that progress ultimately leads to probably a better society overall, you'd have to say, but certainly not to the benefit of the people who we are writing about and who we worked with.
The album is called Every Valley. It is the latest from Public Service Broadcasting. They're here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Here's another live performance of the piece called Progress.
Changing.
Once again, the English band Public Service Broadcasting here in our New York studio with a song called Progress, which is off their latest record called Every Valley. Once again, Public Service Broadcasting is the trio of J. Wilgoose Esquire, JFA, and Wrigglesworth. And Jay, that is a song, as you mentioned before, about technology and automation. And here the three of you are. You're all surrounded by electronics. And it has the kind of dual effect of allowing you to create these studio concoctions, but then also to take them out on the road and actually play them as live musical pieces.
Yeah, I think that's been an important part of it right from the start, really. Is, you know, it's quite involved on an electronic and sort of computational level, I guess, even when it's more organic instruments. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot of layering. There's a lot of looping of guitars and things like that. And it was always important to me to try and do as much as possible of that live. And obviously, don't tell them I said this, but having such versatile and talented musicians as these two alongside me, you know, it really helps, you know, get as much musical engagement, I suppose, into the show as you can with just the three of us, and make it kind of, on a really boring and pragmatic level, make it kind of feasible for us to tour a show like this, but still do it with a level of sort of musical complexity that makes it, well, different every night as well. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Well, a lot of the source material comes from visual elements, from television and film. And, you know, so when you are performing, given the opportunity, is there a strong visual component to some of these pieces as well?
Yeah, we tend to kind of edit a film for each song. In some cases, it's more obvious material than others. Progress, you know, that we've got all kinds of footage of mining machines and an incredible 1930s animation called King Coal, which is very kind of psychedelic and depicts these workers. It's actually musicians hearing the call of coal and kind of their instruments turn into miners' lamps, and they kind of march off into this kind of psychedelic sunset. And, you know, playing the song with that in the background, it does add a layer of, you know, another layer of engagement, I suppose, and another layer of depth to it. In other cases, though, there's not so much kind of obvious footage, I guess. There's some, for this album in particular, there was a lot of stuff that was just sort of audio tapes from the South Wales Miners Library, and finding footage for that is a bit more of a challenge, but I think we ended up getting a bit lucky in the end with that.
So you mentioned, you know, in this animation, the miners turn into musicians. Many miners are musicians. I mean, when I referred before to the culture that grew up around mining, there are these so-called colliery bands, right? Which were kind of like big brass bands.
Yeah, I think in Yorkshire it was the big kind of tradition. I don't know if any of your listeners / viewers would have seen the film Brassed Off, but, you know, that tells a story about a colliery band, I think up that way, I think in Yorkshire. Perhaps you can guess.
Is that the
Dyke? Affirmative.
Is that the Dyke Mills band?
Black Dyke.
Yeah.
But in South Wales, my impression was that it's such a rich tradition of male voice choirs.
Right.
And I think that was probably another reason for kind of heading that in that direction with the album, in terms of choosing a specific location, because it's such a rich sound and such an emotional sound. And the kind of the contrast between these big burly men, you know, really manly men, you can imagine how intimidated I was in particular working with them. I don't know about these two, but and then they come out with this sound that's just, it's just extraordinary.
So you went to South Wales.
Yes.
And did you record interviews and things like that?
I recorded a handful of interviews myself. Yeah, I thought it was important to kind of get out and actually, you know, meet some ex-miners and meet some people in the community who are still grappling with a lot of the issues that are kind of, you know, echoing from the 1980s and the early 90s. So I recorded a few of those myself. I'm certainly not a very good interviewer, so only one tiny snippet of those makes it onto the record. But they were immensely useful, not only in terms of the background of the record and the research, but also just to gauge the reaction, because, you know, immensely conscious going in there as Londoners kind of writing this record about, you know, another region's history and culture. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that they were kind of giving us their tacit blessing. And in the end, it was quite an explicit blessing, really, which was incredible. An incredible feeling, and a lot of them came to the gigs we did in Ebervale, where we recorded the album. We kind of went back and launched the album with two shows there and invited a lot of people who'd worked on it or helped with the research, and just felt like a very kind of emotional squaring of the circle, I suppose.
Well, now, having talked about, you know, the manly men, you know, who were in one of the clips that we've already heard, the voice talks about the arrogant strut of the, you know, the kings of the underground. Having said all that, this next song revolves around the women of that community. Can you set this up for us? Tell us the backstory of this song.
Yeah, well, one of the unfortunate byproducts of telling stories from the eras that we kind of have focused on is that there are a lot of male voices. And one of the things I hate, you know, just amplifying that or sort of, or, you know, carrying on that kind of tradition. So, you know, with the Race for Space, we loved working on the track Valentino. We got Smoke Fairies in to help us with that. And wanted to try and do something similar for this. And it's such an incredible story. It's kind of a literal coming out of the kitchen, actually, in a lot of cases. But these miners' housewives who had previously been kind of devoted to a life of domestic work, I suppose, and having to kind of band together to try and fight for the preservation of their communities. And it was almost a kind of a awakening of their power and their voice in a kind of a democratic society. And again, referring to a recent Hollywood film, but not Hollywood, but a recent film, but Pride. I don't know if you'd seen that film.
No.
It tells the story of the lesbians and gays in London, lesbians and gays who supported the miners and the kind of the unlikely but very strong bond.
Oh,
that
I
they
have
kind of,
seen that.
There
yeah.
you go. Yeah, it's a cracking film.
Yeah. And,
that features a character playing the part of Sian James, who becomes very energised and kind of telling people about their rights, how to avoid arrest and all this kind of stuff. And she went on to become an MP, and she'd previously a kind of normal domestic housewife, I suppose. And we didn't want this album to be just sort of, you know, just the negative. So it was important to tell stories like this of a kind of political awakening and of the power of protest. And it feels especially apt today as well.
And so this is a story that dates from the mining strike of the mid-80s.
Yeah, the voices you're about to hear are all talking, I think they're talking in 1985 about events that took place the year earlier. And they're from source tapes at the Swansea Miners Library.
It's a remarkable story and a remarkable song. You want to play it for us?
Yes, let's have a go.
All right, Public Service Broadcasting. The song is called They Gave Me a Lamp.
If you could get a woman to one meeting or get them involved in one thing, they could see there was this other life. And then they started questioning other aspects of their life, not just relating to themselves. Or, like myself, politics was just something that didn't affect me, but politics is life. And everything to do with it affects you, directly or indirectly.
A lot of women weren't as fortunate as me. They weren't taught to wire a plug, they were taught to make a sponge. They weren't taught how to change a wheel on the car. They were taught the proper way to iron a white shirt. You can't climb up the street, you're a girl. You can't come with us because you're a girl, and I'm damn determined to do it, and I suppose it's sort of stuck with me. So I didn't see any reason why I shouldn't be out there doing what I was doing, why I shouldn't go pick it in, why I shouldn't be in the support group. I think a lot of women found their feet.
Thank you. never sat back, and I have never refused anybody. And I am very proud of it. And I'll be proud to look back on it.
They Gave Me a Lamp. That is a song from Public Service Broadcasting from their most recent album called Every Valley. And Jay, did you find that the tenor, the tone of the story you were telling this time around led you to a different kind of album from The Race for Space?
I think so, yeah. I think it's more mature in certain ways. I think with a song like Gagarin, you know, we were kind of still expressing a, you know, a very sort of playful side to us. And I think that's, it's still there on this album in some places, but it's a bit more muted, I think, just by the nature of the story that we're telling and the subject matter that we're covering. But also just in sort of the sound of the album, you know, and trying to make it have a rich and grounded and kind of earthy feel almost. And, you know, going back to using analog tape to record the drum, well, actually record everything and building our own kind of purpose-built studio in a former Steelworkers Institute in South Wales to record it all. It just, I wouldn't say it was like a method album, because we certainly weren't recording it down a pit or experiencing any of those hardships, but it did feel important to kind of, I don't know, make it sort of crafted in some way, you know, reflect some of the craft with what we were trying to do.
And so the instrumentation included things like horns. You get a brief glimpse of the accordion in that
yes,
song.
Yes, there's an accordion running through that, yep.
From the members of Haiku Salut, a yes. trio of young women from kind of East Midlands there in England.
Yep, Derbyshire. And yeah, I just stumbled across them on the internet. I think they'd randomly included us in some mix for a magazine or something, and I was like, who are these people? Why are they talking about us? You know, click on them, see you there. All right, okay, they're a band, right. Well, I'll give that a listen. And the first song I sort of clicked on was called Hearts Not Parts. And I think if you hear that song and hear our collaboration together, They Gave Me a Lamp, I think you can very clearly hear the influence that they brought to that song. And it was just, as soon as I heard it, I was like, that is the sound I'm after for this thing that I'm working on. I wonder if they'd be up for working on it together. And very thankfully they were. And yeah, it was great working with them. They're a very talented bunch and definitely worth listening to.
Absolutely. Haiku Salut is their name. I had not heard of them before this record came out. And like you, I think Hearts and Parts was the first song I found on YouTube. It's like, brilliant. Where have these people been?
Yeah. And they also do a great show where they kind of rig up a load of old lamps they've bought from charity shops and they kind of have it syncing in time to the music. It's really kind of powerful and very sort of affecting stuff. It's great to watch.
Yeah. Now, have you found Americans getting used to saying public service broadcasting as opposed to public broadcasting service?
You know, it's not just Americans. I mean, I won't tell you some of the ones we've had back home, but let's just say not everybody puts the first L in or the only L in. So yeah, just mixing the words in the wrong order is far from
your worst problem.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? I think it's the first Glastonbury program we were in. There was no L.
Oh my goodness. it is Public Service Broadcasting. The new album is called Every Valley, and we're going to wrap up with the music that concludes the record, and you alluded to this a little while ago, the male choirs of Wales. Tell me about this song that you chose to put on the end of the record.
Well, it's a song that dates from the 70s. I think it was composed by a sort of former psychedelic duo, Edwards Hand, who some of your listeners may be familiar with, but seems an unlikely kind of composition. But it's become a sort of standard amongst Welsh male voice choirs. And I first heard it on a video produced by University of Bristol students, which was called All Out, which is what we used for our own track, All Out. But this hymn kind of opened it. And it was just, the words kind of strike you immediately. The power of the voices strikes you immediately. And it's just an immensely emotional kind of reaction that you get from it. And it felt appropriate, having kind of woven our own way through this story, to kind of come back almost to square one at the end of the album and let the ending be something sung by that community and you know, a song that's very, very dear to them and obviously means a great deal to them.
Yeah, it's a very poignant closing to the record. The album, once again, called Every Valley, from Public Service Broadcasting. They've been playing live for us here in the studio. It's been great having you back with us, and congratulations on the record.
Thank you very much, John. Cheers.
This is Soundcheck.
I remember the face of my father as we walked back home from the mine. He'd laugh and he'd say, "That's one more day
to make my own way. She seemed to know that I had to go, but I'd come back home one day. Take me home to my family. Take me home to my friends. Take me home where my heart lies. And let me sing again.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick, and our video producer is Kim Nowacki. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.